Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A-A, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Manday, the B-A-Q-A with Tiffany, the B-A-Q-A. Welcome back to Brown Ambition. Question and answer. If you have questions, we have some answers. Although we're not your attorney, your financial advisor, your therapist, your mama. But we are two very, very smart brown girls about money, career, business, entrepreneurship. So we love your questions. If you have a question, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and submit them there. You can also, if you want to be in the stew, as the young people say, and sit in the hot seat, you can leave us a voice note via Instagram, Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. And yeah, we will potentially have you in the studio with us. So we're going to do money questions today, Mandra, right?
Yeah, we got some juicy ones, and we're going to go old school here and read them. These are some questions that were submitted through IG. Let's kick off. There are a couple of debt questions today, which is one of our lovely, one of our favorite topics, especially considering what's happening in the economy right now. So let's start with IG question number one from listener MSW. MSW says, hi ladies, can you both explain how it's hard to get rid of credit card debt during a recession? Is it because they increase the interest rates? Should we not use credit cards at all due to this? I'm getting emails about how I can double my points if I use my credit card and other deals like that. I love the podcast, been a fan since day one. Thank you, MSW.
Oh, MSW, are you a social worker? Because that's the social worker, you know, MSW.
I thought it sounded like kind of vaguely familiar.
Master's a social worker. I'm like, I see you, girl, helping the people. Yeah.
I bet they are trying to incentivize you to use your credit card because they make so much money off them these days.
Billions. Yes. So for one, I'll take on the, should you not use your credit card? No, girl, if you pay your credit card off in full every single month, you ain't got to worry about all that. You know, like that's not the issue. Paying off. So I, for example, finally joined the Big Girl Money Club. I don't know if I told you this, Mandra, that, you know, I have my I think it's mostly my American Express card. I put like almost all my bills on it and I pay it off every month in full. And I have so many points as a result. But I was scared to join the Big Girl Money Club because even though I've been paying off my credit card in full, well, you know, like the club where people like put all their bills on their credit card so they can just use points and they put them on their credit card because they pay it off in full. You know, even though I've been paying off my credit card in full for like over 10 years, I was scared to put my bills on my credit card, you know, because it's just like, it's like, girl, first of all, I live off 10% of what I make. You're going to be fine. So instead now, as a result, you know, I use those points to upgrade when I fly to, you know, to really for travel for me. I really love that. So using a credit card is not inherently bad. If you pay it off in full every month, you don't have to worry about the raise in interest rates. But our friend Jerome Powell, not too long ago, right? He raised interest rates, right, Mandra?
He did. I mean, they've been raising interest rates quarter after quarter. And they're doing this for a couple of reasons. Like y'all know during the pandemic, y'all were getting stimmies. Okay. We were getting stimulus checks. Not only that, but like the labor market was hot, hot, hot. We're getting big fat raises, a great resignation. Y'all were quitting your way rich and I love it and I'm here for it. But because Americans suddenly had sitting on all these piles of cash, basically extra money in the bank, we were shopping. We were shopping a lot. We were shopping so much that supply chain issues started to be a problem. And there literally wasn't enough stuff or as much appetite as we had. And that is what has been leading to inflation, which is like increased prices. But what's crazy is like, yes, inflation's to blame because, you know, there was more increased demand, but also you just see companies raising prices, almost using inflation as an excuse to raise them, you know, because like, even though inflation average is what, like 7% right now, you're seeing prices for, you know, some products way more than just like 7% more expensive. But anyway, so one way that the Federal Reserve is trying to control inflation, which is like a good thing, they have our best interests at heart, I think, is they start to raise the base federal funds rate, which does impact the cost of borrowing, not just for you and me, but also big corporations as well. So one of the first ways that we feel it as consumers is in our credit card debt. So your interest rate on your credit card very likely goes up. Everyone's probably got a variable rate interest credit card. That's pretty much the only kind you can get these days. So it will go up when the rates go up. So if you haven't, go check your most recent credit card statement or your email and see what your rate is these days. Because you're right, it is getting increasingly more expensive as they raise rates to carry credit card debt. So yes, if you have credit card debt, I would absolutely encourage you to stop accruing additional debt, and focus on paying it down because it's just getting more and more expensive, to carry it. So that's your little mini, inflation/Fed lesson for the day. I was looking like, what's the average APR right now? And it's at about, let me check. It's 22.9%.
Girl, who called it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I remember getting a credit card. It's like between 20 and 30% credit cards usually like range between.
I mean, if you have excellent credit, I remember my Chase Goodtime card when I got that. It was 16%. That was back in the heydays when rates were really low back in like 2017, 16, something
like
that.
Mine was like $14.99. I remember distinct. I was like, look at me. Okay.
Which is still a lot. But, you know, try not to carry a balance. But I am someone who, like, I joined the big girl club and, like, getting different cards for different, like, I have a Target Red card and I have my Amex for shopping and I have my Chase Goodtime card for travel and food and I have a business credit card. So now I have, like, four credit cards to track. Tiffany, I have a confession to make. I was actually laughing. I was cracking up with Jamila Souffran. She's been on the show before. She's the host of Journey to Launch. She and I were confessing to each other that we paid interest fees on our credit cards recently because we just forgot to pay them off.
Yes, same.
And I was like, I never did this when I was broke. But yeah, anyway, it's a dirty little secret. But yeah, it's getting expensive out here. So you have to be really careful.
Yeah. So inherently, should you not use credit cards at all? No, I don't believe so. But you got to know yourself, right? It's like, if you know that like you're not paying it off in full and you're, you know, having like a little bit of a struggle, then you want to suspend or at least reduce the use of credit cards, you know? But if you're someone who was already paying them off in full every month, then I wouldn't concern myself, you know, so much. Like I couldn't even tell you that in my interest rates on my credit cards because why I pay them off in full, you know, every single month. And so, but I love this question. It was a really great one. Like, you know, so thank you, MSW, for what you do for the people. But also, this is just a really great question. So I think it's important for people to understand that. I think when people think that when the feds raise the rates, Mandy, that people think that it's like the rate that they're raising is like the credit rate that we get as consumers. But it's like, no. Like it trickles down. You know, like, you know, like Jerome Powell says, oh, the new rate is, you know, up, you know, 0.5%. And then your credit card interest rate is going to be up 0.5%. That's not the rate that they're raising, but it trickles down into us, you know, because it's really like the rate for like the big bank borrowers. Like that's what's happening there.
Exactly. And it also leads into like auto loan rates. Obviously, housing, like mortgage rates are so incredibly. And the funny thing is that, and you know what? Shout out to the chief mortgage economist at my former company, LendingTree, Tendai Kupfidze, bless his heart. He explained this to me, I would say no less than a dozen times, and I still don't remember why. But I do know enough to know that the federal rate increases, they don't directly impact mortgage rates, but indirectly they do. So they do, but it's not like a direct, you know, impact or whatever. Tendai, you have to explain it to me again. But anyway, that's why housing is getting more expensive. Your auto loans, your personal loans are getting more expensive. Yep. Any kind of like consumer debt, usually the only
borrowing thing
like
is just going to be more pricey.
Yeah. The only upside is like your savings rates will be going up.
Girl.
Yeah. So I think about like a couple percent. We're getting back to the heydays of your high yield savings accounts were yielding.
Girl, something. It's like it's giving 3.7. I'm leaving the ally. Sorry, ally girl, because you ain't paying as much as others. So I'm leaving. I know. We're switching over from ally. You know, if you caught it, you caught it. But I wish, because I'm just like, yeah, because I'm not loyal, please. What I got to be loyal for? I'm loyal to the coin. Who's paying better interest rates? And so I'm switching. And so that is the good thing. That here's the thing about interest rates.
Okay.
That what's important to understand is that depending on where you are in your financial journey, the raising of interest rates is a good or a bad thing. If you're on the side of your financial journey where debt is still prevalent and it's like, you know, that like you're just having a hard time with debt, then the raising of interest rates by the Fed is going to be a bad thing for you because you're going to have to contend with higher monthly payments overall. If you are on the side of your financial journey where you've minimized or totally eliminated debt and now you're saving and investing, then that's the side. Then the Fed's raising the interest rates is a good thing because you're like, woohoo, the money that I have saved actually is earning more money and I have the potential to keep and make more. So depending, and there's no judgment on where you are on what side, because we have both Mandy and I have been on both sides, you know? And so like now I'm on the woohoo, you know, I'm finally on the side where like I don't have any debt. And so the raising of the interest rates, it doesn't concern me. If anything else, I'm like, let me see how much I can squeeze out of my high yield savings account. So just keep that in mind that like very often personal finance, something is not good or bad. Like credit cards, I don't believe that they're good or bad. It just depends on where you currently are with your finances and how you navigate them. And so, you know, our desire, Mandy and I desire is to help you work toward the other side. When these things happen, it's good for you, you know,
and that
you
can lean into that. As good as it can be, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just sucks that with these rates and like the market's always uncertain for some reason or another, but we're still seeing like my portfolio is not giving what I would like to see. It's still down like 10% my investments for the year. And the truth is like a lot of companies, especially this is why we're seeing so many layoffs in tech, not to turn it into the career episode, but you know, tech relies on a lot of borrowing, venture capital funding for their businesses. And when the cost of borrowing, the money that these businesses are lending them and the money that businesses themselves are being lent so they can give it to tech firms, when that gets more expensive, like it does when the rates go up, they like to give money to tech less. And so that's why tech is, you see them doing layoffs and being more heavily impacted by what's happening in the market. And business in general doesn't love expensive borrowing. So yeah, it's a very complex picture in general, but do what you can, pay down your debt, look into like balance transfer credit cards. If you have a balance and you want to save some money, maybe you can find a 0% interest, like an intro offer that you can transfer your credit card to a different card. I did that last year. And it can buy you some time. And like my dad just had to pay for a bunch of dental work and he got a personal loan at 9% fixed rate. So that rate is not going to change. And he can use that 9% loan, which is much better than if he had to put it on, you know, credit cards.
A credit card, yep.
Or what he wanted to do, which was take money out of his baby 401k. I helped him just set up a couple years ago. I was like, don't touch it. fun times. But all right, MSW, thank you for the question. Should we take a quick little break and be right back with another money question for the BAQA?
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
And we're black and back. Second question comes from Miss DD, or is it double D, girl? That sounds like a lot. Anyway, hi, ladies. Love your show. Thanks, girl. I spent the past few years focusing on paying off debt. Ooh, another debt question. Also, I was able to get my student loan discharged due to my disability. I actually would like to learn more about that, double D. You don't have to give me like all your business, but you know, how are you able to, because lots of people are not able to do that. And I'm curious. She says, I work full time and I'm wondering what I should do next. I have credit cards that I pay off each month. I have an emergency fund, but of course I can always save more. I should probably focus on stashing away for my retirement. I don't want to work in corporate America forever. I just wanted your opinion on what's the most important. For all you both do. Girl, it's just a lot of words here. Thank you for all you both do. I promise double D I can read. So this is a really great question.
Call your double D.
Because it's funny. Because money can be dry, honey. If we going to do it, we're going to this is a really great question, because this is kind of like on the other side. This is, you're super fortunate. All of a sudden, student loan debt, which I'm sure was a heavy load, it's gone, and now you have this excess monthly payment that you don't have to pay out. So it's like emergency fund, stashing away for retirement. What should she be doing? She has got credit card debt still. So what say you, Mandra, to kick it off?
I mean, it's hard without knowing exactly how much credit card debt she has, but I'm kind of greedy. And I'm like, can you do a little bit of everything? Can you increase your retirement contribution? Because really you have less money coming out of your paycheck each month. So put the money to work. And it sounds like maybe you haven't been saving for retirement, investing for retirement while you're paying down your debt. So I would prioritize that and then take some money and add to what you've been paying on your credit card so you can pay those down faster. Those would be the priorities that I would have. And you do have an emergency fund, which is, which is great. You could be adding to it, but since you already have it, I would prioritize the retirement and credit card debt.
I agree, because you have to think to yourself this, right? That like Mandy just read earlier in the question, right? That credit card debt, I can almost guarantee that unless you have a, you know, balance transfer card or whatever, that your interest rate lies somewhere between 20 and 30%. So the market is not yielding 20 or 30%. So even, you know, if you were to invest it, you'd still be losing because you're losing so much with the credit card debt that whatever gains will be erased by that loss. So I'd be focusing on that credit card debt. And normally I like for people to start with the snowball method. But for you, sis, since you got rid of this big lump sum with this student loan, I probably would look at the credit card debt with the highest interest rate first and really work on the avalanche method, especially as we go into this potential recession and interest rates are likely to continue to rise. So I'd pay off that credit. Well, I'd be putting some of it toward paying off that credit card debt, especially with the highest interest rate. And to Mandy's point, you know, it is your younger self's job to look after your older self. So, you know, I'd be looking, if I can, will this allow you to start to max out your retirement every year? Consider doing that or getting close to maxing it out, because you're right. You don't want to work anywhere forever, ideally, unless you like to really love it. And then if there's anything left over, you know, I'm curious how much of an emergency fund that you have. If you have your 3 to 6 months, and I don't, you know, there is, cause you said like you could always save more. And I was going to like, you know, be like, girl, there's actually, you can actually oversave. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of in that oversave category. So is Manager, low key, high key. We have like a year. It's like, girl, why do you have so much? I have over a year's worth of savings saved, which anything above that, I mean, I'm already being ridiculous because I'm like, girl, you do not need this money saved this much, but it's for my own comfort. So I have a year's worth of expenses saved. That let's just say I had 5 years, that's too much. Because 4 of those years at a minimum should be going and investing for wealth. Because if I'm maxing out retirement, I don't have debt, my emergency fund is fully funded, that excess money should really be invested for wealth. That is what the excess money is for. And so if you are in a place where there's still money left over, because I don't know how much your student loan payment was, that you should consider starting to invest for wealth, because you have you're on the other side of like maintenance of money, and you're on the side of really growth of money. Because retirement investing is not the same thing as wealth investing. Retirement investing is investing for to maintain your current lifestyle. You know, like I know they show you the commercials with like retire, you'll be on the island. No, I need you to look around your life now. Hey, life. If I set aside, this is how I'm going to continue to live. Yeah, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, you know, it's better than cat food, you know? So that's what retirement, investing for retirement is to maintain your current lifestyle. And if you can, that's why it's the bare bones basic. So if you've done these bare bones basics and you have money left over, then consider like setting aside to invest for wealth, because then you can elevate your current lifestyle and then also elevate your you know, your lifestyle in the future. So yeah, double just- D.
I was just thinking about the fact that she said she has a disability. Obviously, don't have like more specifics on what that disability is, but it may even be more important for you to be setting aside money for your future self, because you may need additional healthcare, you know, support. And to that, I would say look into if you have an HSA, a health savings account that you can put as part of your retirement plan. You know, that can help you set aside dollars pre-tax that you can use for health expenses in retirement later down the line. And you can actually invest that money too. So there's another advantage there. But yeah, I'm definitely pro long-term savings and investing for you. And good luck with your credit card debt too. And kudos on getting your student loans discharged. Yeah, I'm with Tiff. Like, I want more details. How'd you do all that? Double D.
Yeah. So share the deets, because, please, you know, we might be able to, it might be helpful to be like, hey, yeah, like I said, you don't have to share what your disability is, but it'd be just great to know that maybe it's like, hey, I was able to do it because this law or this whatever, and we can share that information with our audience. So, wow, that's the BAQ you, right, for today. I got Betty saying double D, child.
Double D and MSW. I'm just mad. I'm just jealous. That's all at the end of the day.
I know. Queen of the bare boobies. IPTC. I remember someone told me that I looked at my journal from sixth grade and I literally wrote, Timothy Cook is not my friend. He said, I'm a member of the itty bitty titty committee.
Oh my God. God, yo, I gotta raise a little boy who doesn't do that shit to little girls.
I mean, I was traumatized because literally in the journal, why was the page tear stained? I know.
Baby Tim was like, bites. Meanwhile, you're like 11. You're not supposed to have boobs.
I mean, for real, but whatever. Tim Cook, you were a jerk.
Tim Cook.
Oh, yeah, no. No, but no, if you guys want to be, you know, if you want to participate in BAQA, you can always send us like just written, you know, messages on any of our social platforms or brandambitionpodcast.com and click ask us anything or contact me form. If you want to be actually in studio and record with us, which we love that too, you know, you have to leave us a voice note on Instagram so we can hear your voice, you know, make sure, you know, you got it all together. And then we'll invite you into the stew with me and Mandra.
Awesome. See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.